Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-auspicious Lord Krishna again and again, because the great learned sages, the great performers of charity, the great workers of distinction, the great philosophers and mystics, the great chanters of the Vedic hymns, and the great followers of Vedic principles cannot achieve any fruitful result without dedication of such great qualities to the service of the Lord. So I'll just say it one more time now. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-auspicious Lord Krishna again and again, because the great learned sages, the great performers of charity, the great workers of distinction, the great philosophers and mystics, the great chanters of Vedic hymns, and the great followers of Vedic principles cannot achieve any fruitful result without dedication of great such qualities to the service of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Advancement of learning, a charitable disposition, political, social, or religious leadership of human society, philosophical speculations, the practice of yoga system, expertise in the Vedic rituals, and all similar high qualities in man serve one in the attainment of perfection only when they are employed in the service of the Lord. Without such dovetailing, all such qualities become sources of trouble for people in general. Everything can be utilized either for one's own sense of gratification or in the service of one other than oneself. There are two kinds of self-interest, also namely personal selfishness and extended selfishness. But there are no qualitative difference between personal and extended selfishness. Theft for personal interest or for the family interest is of the same quality, namely criminal. A thief pleading not guilty because of committing theft for not for personal interest but for the interest of society or country has never been excused by the established law of the country. People in general have no knowledge that the self-interest of a living being attains perfection only when such an interest coincides with the interest of the Lord. For example, when the interest of maintaining a body, for example, what is the interest of maintaining a body and soul together? When one earns money for maintenance of a body, personal and social, but unless there is God consciousness, unless the body is properly maintained to realize one's relation with God, all good efforts to maintain the body and soul together are similar to the attempts of the animals to maintain body and soul together. The purpose of maintaining the human body is different from that of the animals. Similarly, advancement of learning, economic development, philosophical research, study in the Vedic literature, or even the execution of pious activities like charity, opening up of hospitals, and the distribution of food grains should be done in relation with the Lord. The aim of all such acts and endeavors must be the pleasure of the Lord, and not for the satisfaction of any other identity, individual or collective. Samsidir Hari Toshanam. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 27, the same principle is confirmed, where it is said that whatever we may give in charity, whatever we may observe in austerity, must be given over to the Lord or to be done on His account only. The expert leaders of godless human civilization cannot bring about a fruitful result in their different attempts at educational advancement or economic development unless there is God consciousness. And to become God conscious, one has to hear about the all-auspicious Lord as He is described in the literatures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Uma jnana timrandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tashme shri guruve namah Shri Chaitanya Manupistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Ham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Lalita Shri Hritam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvabhutanam Parijan Shaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Akrishna Padan Salagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Upesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Suta Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Once again, seeking all the blessings of the devotees of the Lord, you are just like desire trees and you are full of compassion for fallen conditioned souls like me. Verses 11 to 25, Sukadev Goswami is glorifying Lord Krishna and he's praying for the ability to answer Parikshit Maharaj's questions and inquiry about the Lord's different energies, concluding with praising the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So, at the moment, there are three conversations going on in this chapter. And as we know, there are lots of conversations going on amongst devotees who are following the path of Narada Muni. They're always thinking about alleviating suffering for others, and they want to glorify the Lord, his form, his glories, his pastimes, and they're enlivened and they leave others enlivened. So the Bhagavatam, certainly right now, there are three conversations going on. Suta Goswami is describing how Parikshit Maharaj has a natural affection for the Supreme Lord and listens with rapt attention. Maharaj Parikshit praises Sukadev Goswami because he's pure, he's clean, and because of his not having a material contamination, he is able to glorify the Lord effortlessly. Sukadev Goswami, at the moment, is narrating the conversation between Narada Muni and Brahma. And in the translation today, I'm sure many of you had noticed that there is the great learned sages, the great performers of charity, the great workers of distinction, the great philosophers and mystics, the great chanters, the great followers of Vedic principles cannot achieve any fruitful result without dedicating it to the service of the Lord. So we know that for any success to be achieved, we're talking about very long-term success, spiritual success, that one has to dedicate everything we do for the Lord's pleasure, starting from waking up in the morning and asking the Lord, my dear Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to be? How do you want me to show up for the world? And just through that prayer, perhaps we can be thinking about, in our every moment, whatever we do, eating, even our sleep, that we dedicate it to the Lord. So, Brahma and Narada Muni, they know this very well because they're always dealing with challenges. As Srila Prabhupada said in the purport, if we don't dedicate it to the Lord, there are always challenges. And those challenges are that often Brahma picks up the issues because, you know, things are going out of control, like Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha. And the demigods turn up to Lord Brahma and say, look, Lord Brahma, we're in dire straits now. You know, we thought we could deal with this on our own, but we need your help. And so Brahma usually shows up and with the demigods, goes to see the Lord and then pleads to the Lord for help. And of course, Narada Muni is always picking up pieces, isn't he? He's going around the world like Maharaj Chitraketu. You know, he wanted, with how many thousands of wives he had, he couldn't have a child. And he so wanted the child for his society and for his civilization to carry on. And so he became so obsessed by just having a child, despite you know, being guided that that may not be for his highest interest. He has the son, Harshasoka. And of course, he brings him great joy, but great challenges. Brahma was born in the lotus, so he's the first one who knows, actually, this is, you know, to do anything in this world is a challenge. And as he is born in the darkness, so the storms are going, and it's raining, and he's not sure about what he's meant to do in this world. What am I supposed to do? Of course, he understands that he has to create, but again, he doesn't know what to do. So again, he dedicates prayers to the Lord, and the Lord guides him through the sound of tapasya. And through tapasya, controlling his, as we know, vakuvegam, manashvegam, krodavegam, you know, controlling the speech, the mind, focusing on the Lord, that the Lord then reveals to him what he needs to do. And that's the state, our state right now, that, you know, when we think we're doing everything for ourselves and we're using the gifts and talents that the Lord has given us, and we think, hey, you know, I'm in control, you know, I've got this, I can deal with this. And time again, you know, we're seduced by the ego, the false ego that tells you, come with me, you know, I just know the answer. And the mind goes, you know, running along, yes, yes, you know, let's go for this. And of course, it's driven by the senses, the desires to enjoy. And that's so embedded in us that unless we concentrate on focusing on the Lord, we won't really understand, or we will misuse our gifts and talents. Brahma also had the dilemma of when Hiranyaksha was causing so much havoc, and Mother Bhumi was submerged into the deepest, darkest depths of the dark ocean. And again, he contemplated and prayed to the Lord, what is it that I'm meant to do, my Lord? And then what does the Lord do? So kindly, so compassionately, so mercifully, appears through his nostril. And that is just the wondrous aspects of the Lord. Brahma's other dilemma was that he goes to see the Lord in Vaikuntha, and he tells the gatekeepers, please tell the Lord I am here. And the gatekeepers go off and say, Lord, you know, Brahma's here to see you. And the Lord says, which Brahma? At that point, Brahma is baffled because even his universe that he creates is so incomprehensible for us, let alone him, that he realizes actually there is life beyond, you know, even my universe. And that is so fascinating, isn't it? That the Lord himself is so incomprehensible. And of course, then Brahma, the Lord says, oh, you didn't know you were the only one on this planet, you know, or this universe. Sometimes that happens to us when we go into a very selfish mode. So the Lord invites all the Brahmas from all the different universes, time, space, dimensions, and they all appear in their different heads, different helmets. And as they leave, they pay their obeisances to the Lord, and their helmets clang, and they touch each other. And as they do that, they vibrate prayers of gratitude to the Lord. So such is the Lord, that he is so inconceivable, yet he's so kind and he's so patient. Then Brahma, he's off again, you know, he's off on his little adventures, and he thinks, right, I'm going to steal the cows. And as he steals the cows, he understands, a year later, that actually he was testing the Lord. But the Lord was always one step ahead of him. And from his humility and repentance, he creates the Brahma Samhita, which we sing every morning. So Narada Muni is always traveling around, as we said, and he's his only focus is to work on behalf of the Lord. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada is as good as the Lord, that the devotees are always as good as the Lord, because their one intention is to alleviate the suffering of others, glorify the Lord, his form, his pastimes, and to be enlivened. So Srila Prabhupada is telling us that, you know, for us to be successful in anything, we have to be able to dedicate everything, our gifts, our talents, to the Lord. Yesterday I was at a funeral in a Greek Orthodox church, and there was a beautiful singing going on as the priests sang in the Greek language, ancient Greek. And on the other side, there was another Greek monk or father who translated it into English. And it reminded me of Alexander the Great, because the father didn't waste any time to pack any punches. And they were that, you know, soon, you know, somebody will walk past and they'll see the bones in the grave and they'll say, who was this person? You know, was he a great king? Was he a pauper? Who was it? It becomes inconsequential. And such is the life of Alexander the Great, that he conquered so much. He was called Alexander the Great. And of course he accumulated so much. But in the end, his realization was that I want my doctors to carry my coffin, and I want to be covered in white, and I want all my everything that I've collected and I've hoarded given out, because in the end, actually all of that was inconsequential. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is actually telling us. Now, Prabhupada makes 7 points, and in these 7 points, in this purport, he covers the mood and the mission of ISKCON, he covers practical application, he covers understanding and opportunities for us to go away after today and reflect. The first thing Srila Prabhupada says is that any man who wants to perfect his life or his gifts and talents, they must be employed in the service of the Lord. Otherwise, it's fruitless, misspent gifts and talents. And here's the next bit that we're always challenged by, is that without dovetailing these qualities, it becomes a source of trouble for people in general. Everything can be utilized, Srila Prabhupada says, either for one's sense gratification or for the service of the Lord. So the examples we have is those who have caused trouble for themselves, but for others are Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra. And so what's the conscious, why is it that it causes trouble for us? Because unless we are connected to the lotus feet of the Lord, our situation is like the fish in the sea and the fishermen, that the fish are swimming around and they're always going out further and further to enjoy, to find food. And when the fisherman casts his net, it is always the ones, or the Lord who casts his net of material nature, it's always the ones that are further away that get caught. But those who stay by the feet, as Prabhupada said in yesterday's class, that is the safe position for us, because the Lord's feet are so so beautiful. If we glance our mind to the Lord's feet, decorated with red rubies, his nails are like red rubies, he's got the Tulsi on his feet, the ankle bells, which are the songs of the gopis, but just coming down to the lotus feet of the Lord, they're like mountains that shatter the sins in our heart. They are just staying at the Lord's feet, he annihilates the demons within our heart, the demons of lust, anger, greed, cunning, falsity, anger. There are so many. I mean, at some point when I can remember, I will add more to that. But the Lord's feet are also, as Prabhu said, you know, if we're very mind-based, then it can help us to, sometimes, you know, even in our Krishna consciousness, we can become very academic or very intellectual. But as Gajendra did when he lifted up at that final moment the lotus flower, that he put his mind in his heart. And so when we focus on the lotus feet of the Lord, somehow or another our mind and everything that we do on an intellectual level in Krishna consciousness can be dovetailed from a place of heart and connection to the Lord. So the Lord's feet are like, the Lord's feet is the source of Ganga, which is always purifying us. You know, on a day-to-day basis, if we can remember the Lord's lotus feet, it can be just feeling like we're having that lovely dip or the shower from Mother Ganga. And the Lord's lotus feet are the is the source of all Vedas. The Lord's feet are the source that will lead us to, enable us to be able to come to the Lord and to always remember him and never forget him. And again, in the case of Gajendra, you know, in that last moment, the Lord gave him remembrance to cite so many beautiful prayers to remember him. So what are the problems when what are the troubles that we cause for ourselves? We cause the troubles for ourselves is because in the story of Duryodhan, you know, we become victimized. Because when we want to do something for ourselves, the chances are we're going to get disappointed in life. You know, things are going to show up that disappoint us. Even at a spiritual level, you know, we could be doing a service and feeling upset or victimized. But actually, time after time, whatever is happening is showing up for us to be able to cleanse our hearts. Srila Prabhupada says that, he goes to say that anything we take, without offering it to the Lord or dedicating it to his service, it becomes criminal, it becomes theft. And we know this in terms of the hunter, Ratnakar, where Narada Muni tried to at least stop him from killing the animals, but not even just killing the animals, but stopping him from killing the animals and leaving them so wounded that they suffered excruciating pain. And how did he transform himself to Valmiki, the one who wrote the Ramayana? By glorifying the Lord, by writing about the Lord. So that's one thing that can transform our hearts and minds in Krishna consciousness, that the way we can understand the nature of the Lord and his kindness and his love is by writing about his qualities, but also the qualities of the devotees. Aham sarvasyo prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam bhuta bhava samanvita. It's so beautiful when everyone joins in, so please do that when we're doing the next few verses. The Lord says, I'm the source of all spiritual material worlds. Everything emanates from me, and the wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. And of course, who worships with all his heart? Hanuman. You know, I used to always be puzzled. My mother had a picture of Lord Hanuman, and there was a picture of him, you know, very boldly standing in his very athletic way, and he's opening his heart, and you can see Ram and Sita. And it always baffled me. But you know, what's wonderful about him is that he had great gifts and talents, but as a young child, he misused them because, of course, he flew up to the sun. He could be as big as he wanted, as small as he wanted, and then he tried to swallow the sun. And the sages cursed him that he wouldn't remember his gift. And sometimes that's the situation for us, that Hanuman was cursed to forget until he was reminded by Jambavan, because there was nobody else to jump Lanka. And so when, you know, Jambavan basically everyone has asked and they were saying, not me, not me, not me, not me, not me. Doesn't that happen when we're asking somebody to do a service? Not me, not me, not me. But then there's one brave soul who's told, come on, to, you know, just, I remember Sri Tadama probably saying, just give one life to Krishna, just give one life, you know, just be daring and just go for it. So what does Hanuman do? He's reminded that it's okay, you know, the fear within him for him to fly across Lanka. It's incomprehensible for him to even think that. But Jambavan reminds him that it's in the service of the Lord. So my question, Sri Shivada Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Gomitai Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada points out that everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. So I have a question for all of you today in a good old-fashioned way, as a teacher usually asks the question, is what gifts and talents have you discovered in your service of the Lord? Gifts and talents that you didn't know you had until you were put in that hot water or thrown into the deep end. Would anybody like to share anything? Remember, those you're not bragging because those gifts and talents come from the Lord. Govinda Prabhu, I can hear everyone edging you a bit and saying, come on, come on. Gives me a puzzled look. Does anybody know any gifts and talents that Govinda Prabhu has acquired? Well, look, that's the thing. We have to remember that it's not our gift and talent. It's the gift and talent that Krishna gives us. Well, I won't put you all on the spot, but something to think about. And to ask you, how often do we invest that gift and talent in the service of the Lord? Yes, please do, Mother. Thank you so much, Mother. Thank you for sharing that you've discovered the gift and talent of dancing with the devotees, because it's the thing that gives you the energy. And actually, without the Lord's mercy, the ultimate sanctioner, we can't even walk or dance. So thank you. Thank you for that. And when and how did any of these gifts become troublesome for you? I shall move on. Rasaham apsu kanteya prabhasmani shashi surya pravana pranava sarva vedeshu shabda ke porsham nishu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of sun and the moon, the syllable om and the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and the ability in man. Well, maybe Govinda Prabhu, a better structured question might be, what gifts and talents do you notice in other devotees? And of course, that's one way to get rid of the envy within our own heart, that we see the gifts and talents. Yes, Mother? Thank you, Mother. Mother was saying for those online that the devotees of the Lord are so compassionate that it's almost unequatable to anything in this world. So thank you for that. Thank you, Mother. So thank you. So for those online, Mother is saying that the gifts and talents that come from the devotees is their utmost compassion, and that without them, there's no chance of us making progress. Thank you, Mother. And I love the way you said it so wholeheartedly. So in the purport of this verse, where the Lord says that he is the sound in the ether, the ability in man, Srila Prabhupada says, practically speaking, there's no conflict between personism and impersonalism. And one who knows God, the impersonal conception and the personal conception are simultaneously present in everything, and there is no contradiction. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the sublime contradiction of achintya bheda bheda tattva. The impersonalists, they perceive the presence, this is Srila Prabhupada's words, the impersonalists perceive the presence of the Lord in the water by its taste. The personalist kindly glorifies the Lord for kindly supplying tasty water to quench their thirst. The impersonalist uses the Om because they are afraid to address the Lord by his many other names, yet the jurisdiction of Lord Krishna extends everywhere. So for personalists, Omkar is the sound representing Lord Krishna. Those who do not know Lord Krishna and do not know Lord Krishna are in illusion, and their knowledge of Krishna is an illusion. So unless we know the Lord personally, intimately, I thought it was my phone. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada is saying that unless we know the Lord, we're in illusion. And all our knowledge about Krishna is in illusion. So why is it criminal and theft? Ishvasya idam sarvam yatkincha jagatam jagat tena bhunjita magrita svitananam. Today I'm going, everything animate and inanimate within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself and set aside his quota. And one should not accept other things knowing whom they belong to. Srila Prabhupada says, when I know this, I become firmly fixed in devotional service. So, as a child growing up, mother was very strict about what we had. It was always had to be fair, and if there was just one apple between four children, it was cut into four pieces. So there was always that equality in the home. But when a guest came, mother would say, they're as good as the Lord himself. So sometimes she would sit us with the guests and serve us, but I always noticed that she always gave us a bit less than the guests. So I used to think, that's not fair. It's only my cousin. How come, you know, they're getting loads more on their plate and mother's kind of holding back. But she was actually teaching us that when, you know, you should be so generous for others, but hold back for yourself. So as a six-year-old, I remember Prabhupada says that, you know, the tendency to cheat, to be illusioned, to be greedy and imperfect senses is built within us if we're for our material nature. So anyway, father's driver dropped us outside the house, and I had my little brother. I think I was about 5 or 6. He was maybe 5 or 4. And my job was to just take him into the house. But no, I decided to do a detour to the toy shop. And I went into the toy shop and I said to the owner, I'll have this, I'll have this, I'll have this. And I said to my brother, I think you can have that. And charged and said to him something like, put it on my dad's account, you know. Anyway, that night, my parents were really cross with me. And I didn't know why, because as a child, I just thought it was my entitlement to have anything and everything I wanted. Well, mother was not happy. Father was not happy. They took those toys away from me, and I thought they were heartless. I thought they were really, really heartless. But actually, I know that, you know, mother was just teaching me that you can't do that. And it's like knowledge as well, that even in Krishna consciousness, whatever knowledge we have, if we don't share it, it becomes like an iron ball and chain when we die. Similarly, even when we were traveling on the BOAC, I don't know if any of you remember those very old planes, the hostess came with sweets, and I could just see my eyes lighting up and just wanted to grab them all. And just then I noticed mother, you know, mother's strict look, her stern look. And I just took one thinking, why couldn't I have them all, you know? So that's the nature of the human spirit, that, you know, we want to use everything in every moment and forget that actually the Lord is the ultimate owner, even of our gifts and our speech. And I think sometimes, I always remember Mum taught me this, but in the hard way, that actually we shouldn't be feeling entitled about anything. She had a beautiful gold bracelet with diamonds, and a relative had said, oh, I really like this. And Mother just took it off and said, here you are. And I, as a teenager, I thought, how dare she? How could she do that? She could have given it to me. But Mother was teaching us that actually nothing, you know, we don't own anything. And this is why Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, when we have this sense of entitlement, it always brings us problems. In other words, what we're doing is actually cheating the Lord. You know, the more we take without acknowledging the Lord, we're actually cheating the Lord, because it's ultimately coming from Him. Srila Prabhupada said, didn't he, once he demonstrated by pulling, asking a devotee to help him, and then he pushed the devotee and he said, you know, why did you do that? He said, well, that's like a Mayavadi. You take all the resources and then you push the Lord away. You know, I don't need you, Lord. And so sometimes that's how we do that. Today is a day of confession for me, because it's so inly built within me to, you know, want things and have things, that even though I thought I was a good girl at school, we once discovered in the physics lessons how to do counterfeit money. Now, in the old days, you had 2p coins, and we discovered that if you put them in a solution, they became like silver. So the cheater cheats the cheated, you know? So for weeks on end, we were able to manufacture, you know, what looked like 10p coins and get, you know, for 2p, 10p worth of sweets. It's a terrible thing. If you see my children, please don't tell them this story, because they think I was a good child. But what I'm trying to demonstrate here is that, you know, I'm kind of laughing about it, but on a serious note, in terms of our spiritual advancement, we have to be thinking at every moment about what we're using and how we're using, but not to be cruel to ourselves as well, because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, eating too much or eating too little, that's not great either. So there were lots of things I wanted to cover, but time has, we've almost come to the end. But one of the things I wanted to say is that, you know, sometimes even amongst devotees, we can have challenges. In the story of King Indrajumna, he wanted to connect with the Lord, and this is about even our wanting in spiritual life, that he wanted to connect to the Lord. He was renounced, he was in silent meditation, and because he was so enjoying that connection, he failed to greet Agastya Muni, who then, you know, cursed him to have a dull body of an elephant. The great thing about Indrajumna Maharaj was he saw that curse as the will of the Lord. And at the same time, King Huhu, who's the foremost of the Gandharvas, he again was wanting to enjoy and frolic in the water, and he pulled the leg of Devala Muni, who then was really cross with him. So the point there is that when we want to enjoy, we have to be very careful, because even in our spiritual advancement, that we don't affect and annoy and hurt other people. But of course, with King Huhu, he apologized very quickly, and the sage then told him that he would be liberated when Gajendra was liberated. Of course, with Gajendra, he fights and fights for thousands of years. He really doesn't want to, like, he's asking the Lord for help, but he's fighting, but he's not quite surrendered. And it's only when he lifts the lotus up to the Lord that then the Lord appears. And the Lord uses his Sudarshan Chakra to cut through the crocodile who represents the jaws of material life. In this material world, we're stuck in the jaws, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he took the Sudarshan Chakra and he cut through the South Indian Brahmin's consciousness and transformed them into Vaishnavas. I think there was a lot more I wanted to say, but I think in the one moment, there was one thing I wanted to share with you, which was two other verses. Krishna Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranata Klesha Nashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Again and again, we offer our obeisances unto Lord Krishna Hari, the son of Vasudev, the Supreme Soul Govinda, who vanquishes the suffering of all those who surrender to him. And part of surrender is to, in our everyday, every moment, that we think, say, do, that is pleasing to the Lord. So how do we do that? Because this verse is saying everything great around us. So there's another verse. Vani guna katani shravan katayam hastu cha kamasu manas tava padayona shmityam siras tava nivasha jagat praname drishti satatam darshanastu bhavatanunam. Henceforth, may all our words describe your pastimes, my Lord. May our ears engage in oral reception of your glories. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in the actions pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes and forms of the Vaishnavas the forms of the Vaishnavas who are non-different to you. So, and that's the way I suppose we can meditate on the Lord, that everything we see, the first step to God realization is to see the Lord within everything, then to see the Lord and experience the Lord within the heart, and then the Lord as a person. So while the deities are, the curtains are open, let's just do a very quick meditation and then we'll close. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Person, yes, the cause of all causes. Please give a shelter at the dust of your lotus feet. The pure devotees never ask you for anything, but I'm just such a beggar, because without your help, there is no way that I can surrender to the shelter of your lotus feet. Your feet are like mountains that shatter the sins in my heart. Your feet are the source of Ganga. Your feet are also the source of all knowledge and understanding. And your feet are the source of all light, like the sun and the moon. You give endlessly and generously. And you never say, I owe you. My Lord, your thighs are the source of spiritual material energies. Your belly is the source of all of creation, where you enliven Brahma to understand that there are so, you are so inconceivable, that there are, your creation is so, so vast beyond even this creation that we live in right now, this universe, that your chest has the Shivastaha. You're the ultimate Lord, the Supreme Lord, the cause of all causes. And it's also the mark of where Bhrigu kicked you, my Lord. And instead of getting cross, you opened your eyes and you asked him if he was okay and you massaged his feet. Such is your compassion, my Lord, that you understand that those who hurt are just deeply hurting within your chest, my Lord, the Kastuba jewel with the imprint of the calf has limitless opulence, wealth, fame, fortune, intelligence, strength, and renunciation. And then the tulsi garland around your neck that transforms all those impersonal tendencies within our heart. Then the flower garland that's so intoxicating. Please bind and shackle us to your feet with your flower garland. And then the pearl necklaces of the devotee representing all the devotees of the Lord. The conch, my Lord, that when you touch Dhruva Maharaj, you enlivened his senses and he was able to pray so so eloquently to you. Your gada that removes all blocks, the Sudarshan chakra that cuts through material, the jaws of material nature, the crocodile of material life, and then your sword that cuts all the bonds and the ties and the attachments of this world. And then, my Lord, your lotus flower that's all auspicious. Then your lotus flute, your flute that you protect the silent. And please let us be like your flute, to be silent and to be able to speak and say and do things that are pleasing to you. Then your lotus mouth that is always full of kind benedictions and kind words, and your lotus eyes, like the lotus hearts of sages, full of forgiveness and compassion. And then just looking at Srimati Radharani's dress, it's full of compassion. Her whole dress represents compassion, and her garland represents mercy. And on that point, I beg your mercy and forgiveness and conclude the class. Thank you. It's 25:02, so I don't know. We've rushed through. If there's any questions, otherwise we can stop here. Yes, Prabhu.
In the verse it says you cannot get the full fullness of the foundation over the palace. So how would you describe the fruitful result?
Well, the materialist view, fruitful result is grab, 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 you know, it's according to our ambitions and whatever. But the actual fruitful result is love of Godhead, that we reconnect back to Lord Krishna, where we belong, and that is the ultimate goal of a human life. Is that okay?
It's interesting, because I was curious, the Sanskrit word that is translated as fruitful is shema. That here is about the people of life, you don't shema or have it. So, in the other words, it's translated as about the people of life, protection.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Manjaka Patrubhya Chakipasindhya Vichapati Tanam Pavanabhya Vaishnavya Namah.